Thank you, Jesus. This is, are you, is it going?
Yeah, you're going.
Sunday morning. This is August the 2nd, 2020.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Come on, November. Thank you, Jesus. This is going to be a teaching this morning. It's called Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Master. I don't think the title's up. The Lord gives me the titles. Change your thoughts. Change your master. Now, I was thinking about the kingdom of God this morning. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of God. He ushered it in. And he said, the kingdom of God's inside of you. It's within. So when we were born again, what happened? The kingdom of God took up residence inside of us. So we're not so much as waiting for the millennial reign, the kingdom of God to show up. I mean, we are, and because the devil's going to be bound, it's going to be allowed to reign for 1,000 years. But the truth of the matter is, the kingdom of God has always been here. It's been in us. And as we learn to utilize the kingdom of God, we'll see the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's within you, and then he began to do the works of the kingdom of God. He said, the Father in me, he does the works. What they saw manifest, he'd say, the kingdom of God has come nigh you. When you pray for somebody and the Lord heals them, the kingdom of God has come nigh them. I'm looking forward to this new age we're going into, to where instead of it just being just a little isolated little bit here and there, it's going to be where evil abounded, like the scripture says, where sin abounded, grace will much more abound. That's the mission statement of this ministry. See, grace is going to abound where sin has abounded. As we release the kingdom of God in us, we find out who we are, and we start allowing the kingdom of God to manifest more fully. All right, Isaiah 55. I mean, we're looking forward to the millennial reign, but we don't have to wait for that to walk in the kingdom. It's always been ours to do so. Seems like the church is always waiting on something, ain't they, instead of doing. Oh, I'm just waiting. No, Lord said do. Occupy. Do. Do. Do the works of the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's all in how you view it today. Isaiah 57, verse, or 55, verse 7. How are we going to do this? Well, first of all, the church has to change back to their master. Come out from under the other master. All right, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. All right, now you can understand the propaganda machine right here that has been the beast system's method to control the world through the thoughts of men. What we see today is a byproduct of the controlling of men's minds. And when you can brainwash somebody, then they're going to start spouting that narrative everywhere they go. Propaganda, this is what it is, the spreading of ideas, information or rumor for the purpose of helping or injuring an institution, a cause or a person. Ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In today's world, we're having to violently press in and come against the satanic narrative. Now with that, I want to look at Romans chapter 1. This is the other master. This is his world system and what it looks like. We used to see it a little bit, but now we see it everywhere. Paul starts with this statement, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You'd think it though, wouldn't you? But what you see today. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This morning on the program, now I don't know what I'm going to be teaching because it's months and months ahead. And the Lord had me address the homosexuality and that, and also transgender, that these are people that don't know who they are. They have lost their identity. And the way you find your identity is you renew your mind. As a Christian, the first thing that God requires for you to do after you're born again is renew your mind with God's Word so you can know His will. Now, when you begin to know His will, then He shows you, you know, He's shown you what His will is, then He imparts grace for you to do that will. And I don't know about you, but for much of my life, I didn't know what in the world the Lord wanted me to do, but I never did renew my mind to find out what His will was. So I knew there was something, but it wasn't until I started pressing in and spending a lot of hours in the Word that I began to see what God's plan was for me. It scared me. In fact, I wanted to back out of it. And then as we continue to do that, He starts leading us and He starts giving us grace to step out the first step of our journey. We all have a journey. But think about this. God doesn't just say, bam, you're going to do this great work. And then you just do this great work. No, it starts out with one step. You take the first step. Then you go somewhere down the road, there'll be another step. And another step, and another step. How do you get to that end time thing? It's one step at a time. Because God has a teaching process to equip you to do what He's ultimately called you to do. And most people never take the time to do that. And they'll go to school for years and get a degree or two. And they'll spend hours working to try to get up the corporate ladder. But when it comes to spiritual things, they don't seem to think that that doesn't mean anything. It's because they hadn't met the real Jesus. They haven't met a living Savior. They've met maybe what the preacher said, and it didn't go any further than that. And I think it's just a travesty that the church has not made that the priority. Listen, you're not doing anything, you're not going anywhere until you get these basics down first. Let's find out where you're to be placed. They're depending on the preacher to tell them, or somebody, some evangelist on TV to tell them what they need to be doing. But God wants to tell them what they need to be doing. Okay. All right, let's continue. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested them, for God has showed it unto them." They know there's something, but they never go take the right steps to cause this revealing process to them. They cannot comprehend it in their natural mind. A lot of them do. A lot of them will go to natural institutions thinking, well, that must be how God wants us to do it. Well, you know what Abraham, when he did that, what happened? Well, this must be the way God's going to give us that baby. Well, I wasn't God's way at all, and it made a big mess. So a lot of people go their whole lives thinking, well, I did it. I did what I thought God wanted me to do. But in essence, they never even got the first inkling of what God had for them and what God had for them to do. We've got to know His Word. And the Word has to transform us in so we can comprehend His plan. Because in our natural minds, we cannot comprehend. Look at the whole world around you. They're not comprehending God's Word for the most part. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's how we end up building religious institutions that as opposing to works of God. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's how these things that maybe possibly started out right got evolved into worshiping of these idols and doing these things. It evolved. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Maybe they started out right, but they got off track. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Well, we see that today, man. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Right now, with the draining of the swamp going on, God purging, these people know what their end is, but they're not able to recover themselves out of it. They've gone too far. They've absolutely stepped over the line, and they know what their end is, and there is nothing that they can do about it, nothing to save them. But there are some that do. Satan has pushed this agenda since he showed up in Genesis 3. It took approximately 1,656 years before the earth was nearly to extinction. The Masoretic text of the Torah places the great deluge at 1,656 years after creation. That's about 10 generations. So Satan's propaganda machine for corrupting the minds of men has been steadily advancing, and we see the evidence of it even in our world. Okay, Genesis 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, and Jesus made the statement, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What's the answer here? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, Noah was a man that walked by faith, it says. It said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked by faith in his generation. Okay, Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah, he feared God and he moved with God's plan, and God saved him. All right, you have to understand this. Satan watched God create. Because I'm convinced that because the world was out there covered in water, darkness, that Satan was there. He had destroyed that world. Because sometime prior to that, he had been kicked out of heaven. And he came here because God made the earth and he saw it was good. It was a good thing. And then you see a couple of verses later that it was a mess again. So Satan did his destruction. But what did he do? He saw God create. Let's look at those scriptures. This is Genesis 1, 2, and 3. All right, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Good deal. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, this wasn't God's first rodeo. He had seen Satan destroy before. And it's evident there was a flood before the flood. Right here. And God saw, said, let there be light, and there was light. This is how I restored it, by faith. How are we going to restore our world? By faith. We have the power to create. We've been made in the image and likeness of God. All right, let me read those scriptures to you. Right here, God meditated over the situation and spoke what he desired. Satan tried to do what God did, and it got him kicked out of heaven. Let's do that first, and we'll come back to that. Isaiah 14. He thought he was going to be like God, see? He thought he could be like God. But what he didn't realize was he was angel class and was not allowed. Not allowed. You know what angels are? They minister for the heirs of salvation. They're messengers. They are used to send God's assignments. They're his messages to his children, to aid his children in the plan of salvation. The worth got in the shape it was in because of angels getting out of their order. They listened to Satan. This is Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did disweaken the nations? Yeah, when he fell, look out. Look what we've had to put up with. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We see in Revelation chapter 20, the angel gets the chain and he captures the devil and puts him into the pit for 1,000 years. Revelation 12 says, he didn't get his way. He didn't get to exalt himself above God, but he was cast out. This is Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found in heaven anymore. So God kicked him out. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this is what we've been putting up with. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I told you, Revelation is a history book. It's not a future event book. We just saw here what happened, whatever day that was, that fight happened in heaven when a third of the angels fell with him. Yeah, he's been hard at work because he knows he's just got a short time. Okay, it didn't work for him. He is a fallen angel. Angels did not have the privilege God gave to man. God didn't want servants. He wanted friends. His angels are his servants. They do his bidding. They hearken to the voice of his word, Psalms 103:20. He wanted friends. Jesus talked to his disciples about they were his friends. If we can do his word, we're his friends. Okay, 1 Peter 1:12. There's a song called, I am a friend of God. Abraham was called God's friend. 1 Peter 1:12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They don't understand salvation, and they desire to look into it, but they were not created like man, and they're not given that privilege. That's why the ones that did fall and do what they did are have been locked in prison since that day that they did what they did, and they're going on to an even greater judgment and a punishment after this. Okay, angels are not allowed. Now you can see why Satan, knowing he can't be God or act like God, is here with his propaganda machine to trick you into using your faith on destruction instead of production. You still need to read that again? Now you can see why Satan, knowing he can't be God or act like God, is here with his propaganda machine to trick you into using your faith on destruction instead of production. Proverbs 18:21, death or life are in the power of the tongue, and he knows that. He knows that. I want y'all to listen to me today, because I think these things that I'm going to tell you today, they're going to help get you freer than you've been before. I know it's made me free, freer than I've been before. If he can't personally do it, he will try to trick people that walk by faith. Whether they realize it or not, they operate in faith all the time. Negative or positive, people are walking by faith constantly. Well, I don't know how to use my faith. You've been using it in the negative for 40 years. What do you mean you don't know how? You were born knowing how. You know why? Show you something right here. 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. A lot of people think that just having babies, that ain't what that means. It could mean that, but it does not just mean that. It means replenish the earth, fill the earth. You call it. Whatever you call it, that's what you get. I'm thinking, dear God, look what we've called. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Instead of us having dominion over the fish of the sea, now the game wardens, they give us a fee if we touch one of them. You see how upside down it is? We become under strict orders. Slowly, and every day, the Satan has taken our ground. That's what I like about Nacera. All these fees disappear. Don't have to have a gun permit. Don't have to have a fee to go shoot something. Don't have to have a driver's license to drive a car. A free citizen. A free citizen. Not someone under slavery. And every year the fees get more, cost you more, taxed you to the grave. The saying, death and taxes are the only sure things, those will be obsolete. Who's the one that's responsible for this? God's man. We can blame the devil. We can blame the Democrats. And, you know, I like to do that. But anyway, we have to really kind of look in the mirror and say, Lord, fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He gave us the responsibility, and look what we did with it. Oh Lord, we can't continue on like, wait. It didn't work for him. He was a fallen angel. If you can't personally do it, he will try to trick somebody else into doing it. He knows he can't use it. He's an angel. Fallen. But he's angel class. He cannot do anything by faith, and it just steams him because he can't do it. And he hates it when he's comes across somebody like us that he can't use for his agenda. And we go against him, and he sees us changing and undoing the stuff that he did. I want to say something here. There's some people that are in the movement, you know, radically trying to go to the grocery stores and write letters and get the mask thing changed. And it's noble, I guess. And I wouldn't say anything to them. I wouldn't get on to them. If you feel like the Lord wants you to do that, then just do whatever you think the Lord wants you to do. But as a church, God has not used us or wants us to use our fist for things. We're here to speak. We're here to take dominion. This little lady, she's so upset because people are not getting on board with her because some of them are wearing masks anyway. And I was thinking, Lord, she doesn't understand. Not everybody's called to do the same thing. If that's what God's called her to do, she needs to do it with all her might. But don't get upset at others if they don't follow along suit. And it doesn't mean that they've compromised. It doesn't mean that they're not of God because they choose to wear a mask and not get into a fight with somebody in a grocery store instead of behind the scenes speaking what they want. I think we're more effective. But a lot of Christians, and this happens to be a pastor's wife, they don't understand how the kingdom of God works. It's just religiousized. It's just what we grew up in, what we think God is about, what we think religion is, and what it means. Boy, they're going to be surprised as this bunch grows, as we grow and grow and grow, and they start seeing it was just like in Jesus' day, they had instituted religion. And here Jesus showed up, and here the blind started, their eyes open, the lame walking, dead raised. And then the disciples were doing the same thing. They didn't know how to take it. They want to kill him. Because they were so different. They were manifesting the kingdom of God. All right. So we see Satan's full-blown plan here. He has no other. Now we can begin to break down how this affects you personally and what you are required to do as a believer to stay on the right side of things. I'm going to use healing today as an example, but it doesn't have to be limited to that. 1 Peter 2:24 says what? His own self, bear our sins in a body on the tree. You know, he was dead to sins but lived unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So it says in the scripture plainly, over in Isaiah, 53? Talks about that. Matthew 8:17, it all confirms that Jesus already paid for healing. Healing's already here. Prosperity's already here. Everything God ever did, ever will do, is already here and has been. It's in this salvation package inside called the kingdom of God. It's his way of heaven on earth. All right, that's an established fact. It is already established in God's word that Jesus paid for healing by the stripes he took on his back before he went to the cross, for all time, for all diseases and sickness. If this is true, and it is, what's up? What is coming against us? Anybody got a clue? Thoughts. No, this goes before symptoms. What happens before a symptom? The thought of it. See, Satan wants you to take that thought sane. That's why Brother Coblin could say, pain is a thought. If Jesus took our pains, it says, he took our pains. So, if that's true, is that real? No, it's a thought. See how Satan tries to trick you. Then if he can get you to say it, he does it all the time. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. He didn't say forsake his pain, forsake his symptoms. He said forsake his thoughts. Come on, think about this. Thoughts. You know what the word thought means there? A plot. You could say propaganda. Satan's vision for you. Every pain or symptom that comes against you is first a thought. You can see why Brother Hagin was so highly advanced in his walk, probably more than anybody that we know, because he guarded his thoughts. Because it's like the thought is the bait, trying to get him a, you know, fish on his line. Okay, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 spells it out pretty plainly. Yeah, some, you know, the devil will try to get you to take a thought, and then before you know it, you're thinking on that thought, and it starts taking you down a road. And it's usually not a good one. It's usually a road that maybe you're blaming somebody, or you're feeling bad about something somebody did to you or something. Catch it. Pay attention to that. Because that's his trap. It's how he works. It's how he operates. All right, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's why people, well-meaning people, that want to get well and all of those kind of things, they think that they can do it by being in the best of both worlds. And I'm not against medicine, but you can't use the other master's ways, and that system is of him. Now, I know there's people that have to wean off and they have to go another way, but there comes a day. God's going to expect you to quit acting like a baby and wean off of that stuff. I know a few years ago, Lord said to me, a healing I had in 2009, he said, you have to quit that other stuff. If you want this stuff, you have to lay that other stuff down. And I said, okay. And I did. We've had so much mixture. You know what mixture does? Nothing. Gets you nothing. Compromises your walk of faith. It's compromised the church. They don't even know how to walk by faith for the most part. Even people that have been in the faith walk for many moons don't know how to walk by faith. They don't know how. They are compromised because we've been taught, well, you can use all these means and methods to get you there. Do you really need it? Or is it a crutch? I think it becomes a crutch. I know people that are Christians, been Christians 60 years, that are so addicted to drugs, it's just scary. These kind of people would say, okay, you better give me the mark because I got to have my medicine. Yeah, it's very, very scary. And this is serious. A lot of people think, well, that's not connected with the other. Oh, it absolutely is. As we can see now, we see clearly now how they've used a scamdemic to compromise the whole world. All right, let's keep reading here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That pretty well cinches it all up, doesn't it? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by asking or taking thought can add one cubic unto a stature? I know people, they spend lots of money, they spend lots of time in diets, exercises, supplements, medications, all procedures. That's not God's way, and it's not his kingdom. That's the way of the other master. But he's saying right here, can you add one cubit to your stature? All these things that you try to do. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? This is what Brother Hagin became so disciplined in, that he did not let his mind go into his needs or what he might need. He didn't take the bait of Satan trying to thwart him. Well, you know, your car broke down and you got a hole in your shoe and a dime in your pocket. He tells about a time when that was the condition he was in. He said, I didn't take any thought. I just went down the road praising the Lord. We have to refuse to take the thoughts. They're not innocent. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things, but seek ye first. See, a lot of people don't understand. You cannot operate the kingdom of God and operate the other kingdom at the same time. And that is a fallacy that we have been sold in church. Now, the Lord will help a baby along, but it's really an affront to God, like a slap in the face, as if, was the blood not enough? Were the stripes on my back not enough? And you still won't believe me? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Prosperity, healing, divine health, all these things. And his righteousness, all these things should be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it's evil to take a thought. It's Satan. All right. This passage indicates that if you choose the thought and say you have chosen Satan as your master. Whew, that'd clear the room, wouldn't it? But it's the absolute truth. If you don't take the thought, cast it off, then God is your master. This is our warfare plan. All right, 1 Corinthians. Does going the natural way, whether it be medicine or whatever, go against the Word of God? Does it? All right. 1 Corinthians 10, 3. Oh, no, that's not right. 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5.
2 Corinthians.
I have it down wrong. We'll get it here in a minute. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How are strongholds built? A thought upon a thought upon a thought. Casting down imaginations. Noah's day, every thought, every imagination of man was evil continually. Satan's strongholds had completely dominated the whole world at that time. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I hear it constantly. When I get on social media and listen to anybody, especially if they're Christians, and a lot of them are, there is so much mixture. Kenneth Copeland said this, "We serve our thoughts." I thought that was pretty profound. We serve our thoughts. And he used this scripture as a reference. Peter is a prime example of that. We're going to look over at Peter. This is Matthew 14. Just think about it. We serve our thoughts. We best have some good ones then, huh? That's the master you serve, wherever thought, place of thought you are. That'll challenge you to have no more dark days. No more days going down roads that, I know after our son passed away, I laid my head down and guilt and things would come against me. And the Lord said, close the door of your mind against those thoughts. Do not allow it. He said, think about something happy about your son. And focus on that, not what you should have done, what you could have done, what you wish you'd done. Because that's the devil's playground, guilt, condemnation. He's the accuser of the brethren. Okay, Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He was walking on the water just like Jesus. He got his eyes off the Word of God and onto what he saw. He took a thought. And down he went. With these thoughts come feelings. Now listen to this one. This will help you. With these thoughts come feelings. What are feelings? Feelings are a product of the five senses. Peter saw the wind and it caused him to get out of faith. Said he perceived the wind boisterous. It got his eyes off of Jesus, the master, to the wind and the other master. Did he serve his thoughts? Absolutely. He started out all right, but he didn't keep focusing on the right thing, and down he went. He served his thoughts, caused him to serve the other master. You serve your thoughts. James tells us to do this for those thoughts to go away. This is James chapter 4. I like verse 6 too. It goes along with it. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves. See, he gives us the grace to do this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The truth is that we've been redeemed of all the stuff that Satan is trying to get us to take. Galatians 3:13 says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And if the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in you, he'll quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. Why did he say all that? So that we would realize it's already done. And whenever the lie comes, we don't have to believe it because the real deal's already here. We don't go rogue. That's double-minded. Well, you know, I believe God today, but I don't tomorrow. And so it goes. Everything is already yes. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. All God's promises are yes and amen. In fact, it's not even a promise. I don't even like to use that word. It's already done. A promise is of something that is to come, but already done, it's at your... Yeah, it's a fact and it's at your disposal right now. It's like, well, we got this warehouse over here and it's stocked with stuff. Go in there and take whatever you want. It's at your disposal. That's what John said. The kingdom of God has come nigh you. He meant was, it's at your disposal. It's here. It's not afar off. It's here. Brother, okay, I told you about Brother Hagin. Well, let me just, this is what I said about him. I'll go ahead and read it. Brother Hagin was a man that probably walked the fullest in this than anyone else I've ever known, and I didn't really know him personally. And about especially in the area of faith, he became very disciplined in his thoughts. He didn't give the devil any inroad. He was also a man that walked in love. He would not give in to get people to incite him to say loose rogue words that could compromise his faith. His thoughts did not make him a slave, but his thoughts made him free, kept him free. Doesn't mean that he never suffered anything. He did. But he won the victory. Only person I know that never, except for one time, when he had broken his arm, he had to go in and have a little surgery done. He nearly died and physicians came to the house, but they couldn't help him. So he never went to the physicians, ever. He said, I didn't need to. Didn't ever take any medication. He said, I didn't need it. It's because he learned how to walk by faith. All right, Jeremiah 23:9. Hope y'all are getting this today. It says here, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The more or the less double-minded that we are, the more victory we will walk in. The word breaks down those strongholds that we've allowed the enemy to build up in our minds. We are not only getting free naturally, but also spiritually. And, well, really, mentally also. Whatever master you choose are the results you see. Let us become fully persuaded of what we already have. It's already at our disposal. And not always be searching for another way out. One day I heard somebody say the two biggest things that they attributed to the success in their life, and they've been a Christian a long time, was wearing sunscreen and not smoking. I didn't say anything, but it just crushed me. I'm thinking, really? I'd have to say the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. I mean, come on, the Holy Spirit. Because they've come out with all kinds of studies about sunscreen and how it is not good. People are just lathering in it. So you're going, okay. And I'm convinced, if you don't think those cigarettes will hurt you, they won't. I mean, it stinks. I don't like it. But can it kill you? No. In fact, I don't think anything can. It's what you think about it. We're in the kingdom of God, people. There's not going to be anything hurt or harm in all this holy mountain in the 1,000-year reign. Why did he tell us? You'd be able to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. You'd drink any deadly thing that would not hurt you. Why did he tell us that? Why was Paul able to shake off the snake and not suffer any ill effects? Because he knew what the kingdom of God was about and what it was and the reality of it. And he didn't believe the world. See, that's where we have to get in our thinking. We cannot be wishy-washy back and forth. We have to totally deprogram and know our stuff. Gosh. I used to have these tea bags. You'd use these tea bags, and they would they helped you go to the restroom. We'll just put it that way. It was a tea you could drink. And I remember offering it to somebody, and they jumped back like it was a snake. Oh, I'm afraid of that. I'm scared of that. I'm thinking, you're scared of a tea bag? You got a whole world of people out there just like that. Okay, let's keep going. Romans chapter 4. Scared of a tea bag. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the father of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, I was talking about, you know, I know if you feel like you've got to go and write letters and get lawyers and do all kinds of things and get up in people's faces and tell them you're breaking the law and you need to do this, that, and so, you go ahead. But the Lord has not said that's what I am supposed to do. He said, I told you, call it the way you want it. He didn't make us to fight with people or use the arm of the flesh to do it. Now, if you're praying and he says you go get a lawyer, then you do it. You best do it. But I'm talking about, this is how the church has gotten to where it fights its fight with the arm of the flesh, with the fist. No wonder they lose. No wonder when they go to court, they lose. Did they get God's plan? Did they get his strategy? Did they ask him, if you're defending me in the kingdom of God, why don't you get my instructions to do it? You just jump out there and do what the world does. And we wonder why we have a problem. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He got to a place, he quit looking at that old lady, and he quit looking at his own old self, and he believed God, and the promise became a reality. They overrode natural law. And even in that day, that'd be fantastic. In this day, that'd be fantastic. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. They could have had that baby first year, but took 25. All right, Galatians 4. We've got to cast off the works of the flesh. They are counterproductive to the kingdom of God. Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. And we know that's what he did. They went to Egypt, picked up Hagar. And Sarah got a bright idea. Well, he must mean for this young woman to have this baby. So, Abraham, you sleep with her, and you know, anytime you get another woman in the mix of a marriage, you just might as well flush it. That's gone. That's stupidity. I mean, ignorance gone to seed. I'm just going, how she could think that that would be God's plan. But it's not any different today. If you're so used to We handle God's things the way we handle the world's things. No! Neither the two shall ever meet. And to think so, that means you're dumb. Dumb in spiritual things. Just look at the life of Jesus. He went totally against everything the religious leaders of his day did. That's why they hated him. And they may someday say, you're a lunatic. I don't care. I'd just soon stay here. I'd rather be a lunatic for the Lord than to be where you are. Vipers. Dead men's bones. You're either going to serve one master or the other. There cannot be two. Well, today I believe I'll serve the devil. And tomorrow I'll serve God. They don't work like that. You choose. It's like Elijah. He said, quit wavering between two opinions. If you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. If you're going to serve God, serve God. Okay. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which is generate the bondage, which is Hagar. The law was never God's idea. It was the Israelites' idea. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with their children. See, they haven't accepted Messiah. They're still in bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. In other words, there's not many works of God, but very many works of the flesh. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was heir, the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. We see that today. You start rising above, start preaching kingdom living, people think you're nuts in the body of Christ. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. The Lord said, don't keep doing that. Throw it away. Trust me. I'll see you through. I've made you a promise that if you will do the word, be a doer of the word, be a doer, then it's my responsibility to see that it comes to pass in your life. But if you reach back there, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And then it says to stand fast in the liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's the bondage, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. As if God is not enough. What keeps us from totally trusting God, letting go? Four letter word. Fear. Fear. But he hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. All right, let's look at James. A lot of scriptures, but all good. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's not taking thoughts here. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's trying to operate in two kingdoms. Whenever we decide to go to the arm of the flesh, we just might as well go with it. Because we've canceled this out. Do y'all see that today? The Lord has been exhorting us to ramp up our praise life, to see every situation is already done and we're the winner. Praise will help us keep the faith. Paul and Silas in the jail. Backs were beaten and bleeding. But they did no complaining, but sang praises to the Lord. Then the angel shook the prison and their bonds were loosed. They didn't get on the bandwagon, call their attorneys. Well, according to Section 3, Code 54, you have no right. I'm a Roman citizen to put me in this place. Is this what's going on? This is the only code we need. Right there. These are our rights. This is our king, not Caesar. This is our king. I love Donald Trump, don't get me wrong. But he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only code is the Bible code. It's the only one I care about. He says I can have what I say, so I have to go argue with the store manager at the grocery store over it. There's enough of those that'll do that. But we need to be calling for what we want, because we've had enough of what we have. I think that's... Oh, there's some more. Your attitude determines your altitude. Psalms 8:2 says he's ordained praise to still the avenger. Psalms 91, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it won't come near me. Yeah. Ever notice that when your attitude is good, you have a good day? Ever notice when your attitude is bad, you have a bad day? That's your thought processes working. You're reaping the fruit of your thought processes. In the early 90s, when I first began to teach, the Lord spoke this to me. One of the first things I ever taught, we went to Level End that day. I taught that day. Think about what you're thinking about. Profound statement. Think about what you're thinking about. Try to catch it before you let it go where it, before it gets out of control. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, that's your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, so is he. As you thinketh in your heart, so is he. My mother used to say, can't, never, could, do nothing. I said, I can't do that. She said, can't, never, could. But can. When we arrive to this maturity, we will begin to see the supernatural override the natural. Like Paul shaking off the serpent and saw no ill effects. It's already here, folks. It's not just going to happen because the kingdom has finally been ushered in. It's already here. It's inside of us. We're already to the place to shake. But because the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years, there will not be the obstacles that we have had to face. And the kingdom of God is just going to overtake this place. Where sin abounded, grace is going to much more abound. He doesn't have to be here in the flesh for this to abound. He's given us a reset in every way. We have no excuses now with no devil here. Tired of dealing with your snakes? Are you letting them make you a slave? Are your snakes making you a slave? Or are you shaking them off? It's been there in black and white from the creation till Jesus what we are to do. God created man. He brought man before the animals and said, what will you call them? And whatever you call them, that's what it will be. It's been here all along. We've been doing it whether we are conscious of it or not, whether it's positive or negative. Mark 11:22, speaking to your mountains. Don't gripe about your mountains. Don't go. Just speak to your mountains. Speak what you want. Romans 4:17. Abraham called those things that be not as though they were, just like God does. Romans 5:17, he wants us through the abundance of grace to reign in life as kings. Paul learned to walk by faith, by grace. It isn't a work, but the gift of God. When he went before the Lord and said, get this off of me. He said, I went three times to the Lord to get this off of me. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And I'm made strong in your weakness. That's something the Lord spoke to me. You're wanting to be strong. Would you rather be weak and me be strong in you, or would you rather be strong in you? And I said, I'd rather be strong in you. And that's what Paul faced. Paul was a slave to his plight until he learned how to draw on the grace of God. Grace is the enabler. Grace enables. Grace is supernatural and overrides the natural. Let's look at Hebrews right quick. Hebrews 11. Anybody that has ever been anybody recorded in the Bible that's of significance, and I'm talking about good things, they did it by the grace of God. Okay, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. These people decided they were going to go God's way. Think about it. Abraham was 75 years old when he started that first trek. Do you think he felt like doing that? Riding on a donkey across the desert? I mean, come on. Camels? There's days I just want to be left alone. Don't talk to me. Don't speak to me. I'm just, ugh. And I'm thinking, I'm supposed to have strength to do all this? Well, see, God wants to do something in us. And if we're strong in ourselves, we'll be like Moses. So when you get an understanding of that, you don't feel so bad about it. All right, I hope that helped y'all today.